What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into Lineup Logic, the daily fantasy podcast bringing lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I'm your host, Sean Kane, and we are staring down a 15-game Friday main slate in Major League Baseball. Some really interesting games. Tonight was certainly interesting. I'd certainly hope for your sake you had the Mets and Cardinals because they're going for it. Definitely was a good night for them. No question about it. I had one of each. There were some swings and some misses. I think the Cleveland starts out strong. The Astros they scared me a lot. They didn't really do much. And now I'm waiting to make sure that James Paxton is actually generating strikeouts here, and for the Dodgers, someone on the Dodgers to hit a home run. Please, Dodgers, someone hit a home run. The Kike Hernandez double was beautiful, but can we please get somebody to hit a home run in this game? Preferably Cody Bellinger or Justin Turner. Preferably. In fact, that has to be them, actually. So if it's anybody else, please don't. But hey, cool thing I want to share with you guys before we jump into the slate. You may or may not have listened to the interview with Brian Jester of Occupy Fantasy yesterday. We talked about his new book. It's a really, really interesting topic. How to manage bankroll, what game selection matters, how to be a profitable DFS player by specifically understanding how to play certain DFS games. He has really interesting data on that, and he put it all into his ebook there. It's at OccupyFantasy.com. Brian and I then also talked about the quarterback landscape for the 2017 season. And man, he dropped some knowledge on me. I'm not gonna lie. Brian had some good things to say. He kind of almost talked me out of Kirk Cousins, to be honest with you, which has kind of made me mad, but also he was right. So it was definitely an enlightening conversation. If you haven't listened to it, listen to the interview. But more importantly, we're going to give away one of Brian's books. The book, we talked about it. We're going to do a giveaway. All you got to do, there's going to be a tweet on my timeline. I'm going to have Brian tagged in it. All you got to do is do the old retweet and follow action. Occupy Fantasy at Occupy Fantasy. So retweet and follow Brian and Occupy Fantasy, and you'll get entered into the Lineup Logic giveaway there with Occupy Fantasy, and we'll give away one of those ebooks. Great title, man. Great to kind of get your mind right about DFS strategy going into the season. So really cool stuff. So look for that tweet tomorrow with the podcast. You'll see him alongside each other. Do just see the old retweet and follow, man. Retweet and follow. All right. Hey, we got 15 games to talk about, so I'm going to go ahead and jump straight into the preview. Let's go ahead and see what Vegas has to say about Friday night. Okay, game one, Nats, Giants, 10 runs projected in National Stadium there. We have Christopher Stratton. Very Stratton young lad who is going to get destroyed. Let's be very clear about this. Really rough. He had a rough outing against the Padres, so not good, Bob. Versus Edwin Jackson. Edwin Jackson is an interesting spot here. Really cheap punt Bible arm. 10 runs projected in Washington. 4.3 runs for the Giants. 5.6 for the Nats. One of the highest totals on the slate. So definitely interested in the Nats. Mets-Phillies continues. And Citizens Bank Park continues to be a place where you can hit home runs. Jacob deGrom continues to be elite. And the Phillies continue to strike out. So I kind of overthought that one. I'm not going to lie. Seth Lugo versus Nick Pivetta. 9.5 runs are basically dead even. 4.8 for the Mets and 4.7 for the Phillies here in this one. Seth Lugo, not good, but struggles with righties. I was trying to remember who it is that struggles with lefties, and that's Steven Matz. It's Steven Matz. Although, wait, no, is Steven Matz a lefty? I was trying to remember which shitty Mets pitcher really sucks against lefties. No, it's not Steven Matz. Okay, it's not Steven Matz. So Seth Lugo, you know, actually has been halfway decent against lefties and really struggles with righties. So waiting to start the Phillies here. Waiting. Just got to get the right situation. But we're definitely starting the Mets against Nick Pivetta. I think their total will probably move because they just took full advantage of this ballpark. Grandy hits a homer. Neil Walker hits a homer. I believe Conforto hit one as well. Yeah, so plenty of home runs all spread around over there. Some interesting guys in this lineup too. Some low price prospects moving up into the lineup. Dominic Smith, Ahmed Rosario, really cheap. Really cheap. Can make your Mets stack really viable with another high price stack. Red Sox Yankees in Yankee Stadium. I just hope they throw baseballs at each other and get suspended so that the Rays can continue their one-game win streak where they will likely sweep the Cleveland Indians. Just saying. It's probably going to happen. So, by the way, Danny Salazar, 5 innings, 8 Ks. Then all of a sudden he starts walking people and Terry Francona pulls the plug. Come on, man. Come on. And your bullpen gave up a 3-run shot to Corey Dickerson. The myth, the man, the legend. C-Dick. Worst nickname. Terrible nickname, C-Dick. That's a terrible nickname. Anyway, Red Sox Yankees, 9.5 runs, Erod versus Jaime Garcia. Neither of these pitchers have been particularly good. 4.6 runs for the Red Sox, 4.8 runs for the Yankees. Yankees get blanked by Marco Estrada. Don't know what is wrong with them right now. If I'm doing anything, I'm probably going to the Red Sox righties in this situation. Give me some Eduardo Nunez. Give me some, you know, Dustin Pedroia, some cheapies there. You know, Mookie obviously in play too. So definitely interested in the Red Sox righties in this situation. I think that would be my preference over the Yankees, who are just can't figure stuff out right now. Pirates Blue Jays, 9 runs projected in the Rogers Center, 4.9 runs projected for the Blue Jays, 4 flat for the Pirates. It's Jameson Taillon versus Marcus Stroman. I'm not playing the Blue Jays. I'm going to make a commitment. I'm not going to play them unless they're in an absolutely perfect matchup. Not play them anymore. They're very difficult to get right. And Jose Bautista hit a home run. What the hell is that all about? They almost DFA'd the guy. He just saved his own career by hitting one home run. Stroman definitely in an interesting spot against the Pirates. Just kind of a lackluster offense, unless the pitcher is really bad. And Stroman is not really bad. He's quite good. So I think he's in an interesting spot. Twins Tigers, 10.5 runs projected here. This is interesting. This is interesting total. Tigers are 5.4 runs against Kyle Gibson. Tigers getting a lot of respect against a righty. They have not been getting a lot of respect recently against righties, but they have been definitely better against righties of late. Scott and I, and by the way, Scott came on, not Josh. Scott, DFS Kingsguard, works on the cheat sheet. If you're not a cheat sheet subscriber, you should be. But Scott works on the cheat sheet. He's one of our guys over there. You gotta respect the way the Tigers have been hitting righties, and Kyle Gibson is certainly not a good righty. So I am interested in the Tigers stack as well in this situation. I think it works. Twins getting 5 full runs against Anibal Sanchez, who just trolls people and doesn't give up anything. But if he's going to give up something, it's probably going to be a home run. Miguel Sano just can't buy a home run lately. Dude has just not hit a home run in a while, which is really frustrating. Oh, no, that's not true. He hit one in that San Diego series. I'm overreacting. Colorado, Miami, 9 runs projected here. John Gray versus Jose Urena. 2 bad pitchers, 2 mediocre offenses. I don't really know. I mean, Charlie Blackman, right? Is that a hot take? I don't think it is. You know, against Jose Urena. John Gray has not been great. He's had, you know, some good starts recently. Like, it seems like he figured it out, and he had some really, really bad ones. He's had two good ones, though, recently. He had a good one in Washington, and he had a good one against Philadelphia. And I think, you know, we knew that this guy had some good stuff. He's just wildly inconsistent. So I don't know that I'm going to go. I don't even know if I'm. This may just be a cross-off for me. Cleveland, Tampa Bay, 8 runs projected here. Carlos Carrasco versus Jake Faria. Cleveland implied for 4.2. Rays implied for 3.7 against Carrasco. Carrasco is getting a lot of love from Vegas in this situation. That's not the lowest implied run total, but it is close. It is close. It is definitely on the lower side. In fact, it is the second lowest run total on the slate. It is. Yeah, it's the second total lowest run total on the slate. That makes sense. Carrasco has been good. He's been bad in his last two starts, but on the season, he's got some really good numbers. Rays striking out constantly. Saved by, of course, the Corey Dickerson homer of the night. Gosh, these guys can't stop striking out. It's depressing. Astros, Rangers, 9.5 runs projected in Tejas. This total is going to move in favor of the Astros. I got to think people aren't that scared of the way the Astros are playing these days. Because, you know, a week ago, this would have been like almost 6 runs against Cole Hamels, who just given up so much hard contact. Charlie Morton on the hill for the Astros. I like Charlie Morton in this situation. The Rangers strike out too much. And he's really good at limiting left-handed bats. So there goes all the bats that, you know, not all of them, but there goes a lot of the bats that you worry about in this lineup. Royals, White Sox, 9.5 runs projected here. The Royals are getting 5.1 runs against Reynaldo Lopez of the White Sox. The young fella got called up. From AAA, don't know much about him, but the Royals are, apparently going to score 5 runs on him. And, it kind of makes sense. I think it could certainly happen. You have the lefties to do it. This is a good ballpark. So definitely could be a Royals day. I have to do a little bit more research on Lopez to get a sense of, you know, how bad is this guy really? But you know, you don't have to talk me into a Royals lefty stack. I'm into it. Reds, Brewers, 9 runs projected in Milwaukee. Definitely, interested in the Brewers here because it's Homer Bailey versus Jimmy Nelson. Jimmy Nelson, the third lowest total on the slate, and the Brewers are. The Brewers are in a good spot. They broke the slate this last time they played against Homer Bailey. 3 home runs, massive runs scored in Cincinnati. So I definitely have to be interested in the Brewers, even though they're struggling, man. They could be in a great spot against Homer Bailey. He could cure what ails them. Braves, Cardinals, 9 runs projected here. Mike Foltynewicz versus Adam Wainwright. 4.9 runs implied for the Cards and 4 runs implied for the Braves. Braves are just not that good. I mean, Wainwright has not been elite this year, but like the Braves are so bad. They're just so bad right now. They just can't hit anything. The Cards, however, their total's got to move up. I mean, they've just been so productive of late. You know, flirting with 10 runs basically every single game. Cubs, Diamondbacks in the desert, 9.5 runs projected down there. John Lackey versus Taijuan Walker. This is almost a pick 'em. 4.7 runs for the Diamondbacks, 4.8 for the Cubbies. That's interesting to me. I mean, you really think the Cubs would be in a better situation. And then both of these teams would be, you know, closer to 5 runs. But I guess... Vegas doesn't see it that way. Neither of these pitchers they think are going to get blown up, which, you know, I guess that makes sense. But in the desert, I'm definitely interested in these 2 high-octane offenses. Though we did just see this series in Wrigley, and it wasn't necessarily that high-octane. Baltimore, Oakland, 9.5 runs projected here. Ubaldo Jimenez versus Paul Blackburn. Paul Blackburn doesn't strike anyone out. Ubaldo gives up all the hard contact. I think this game is very interesting. But I'm going to lean towards the Oakland side of things in this one because Blackburn doesn't really give up a lot of hard contact. Huge ground baller. Los Angeles, Seattle, 9.5 runs projected here. Ricky Nolasco versus Marco Gonzalez. Actually, sorry. Ricky Nolasco is the listed starter here that I'm seeing, but I'm also on MLB.com. I'm seeing J.C. Ramirez, and J.C. Ramirez sucks against lefties, so we would absolutely be interested in the Seattle lefty stack. Padres, Dodgers, 8.5 runs projected. The Dodgers implied for 5.7 runs in this one. Down there in L.A., back home, finally. Clayton Richard taking the hill for the Padres. Rich Hill taking the hill for the Dodgers. Rich Hill's the heaviest favorite on the slate, minus 340. What? 340 favorite? Insane. Insane. No respect, but we got to start Rich Hill if he's this much of a favorite. That's craziness. Clayton Richard really, really gets lit up by righties. So Dodgers righties in play for sure in Dodger Stadium tomorrow night. That's it, guys. 15 games. I brought Scott on to break down the slate with me. So let's go ahead and jump in and figure out who we love on this 15-gamer. Who do you love? All right. It is Friday, and I'm without my normal sidekick, Josh Fernandez, here on this Friday show. But I have a stellar understudy in Mr. Scott Gregory, DFS Kingsguard. Those in the Patreon community know him well. Scott, how we doing, buddy?
Doing pretty good. How about you?
Good, man. Good. You know, we're out here just being grateful for the Mets and talking golf. Talking PGA, because the lineup logic PGA community is doing good work. You've got some hot lineups, and that's good stuff, man.
Yeah, I've been loving doing golf with everyone over there. Putting together great lineups. Today has been a crazy day hunting down that World Golf Championship ticket. So, you know, hopefully it's not just that first round magic, and it keeps going. And yeah, I mean, the Mets, let's go Mariners. And if the Mets could, you know, get a Yoenis dinger here, that'd be fantastic.
A Yoenis dinger would be really nice. Although I will say, so this is really funny, I somehow have the exact same lineup as another person in this like small field GPP that I'm in. We literally have the exact same lineup. It's a Mets and Indians stack with Salazar at the top. And we both have a random catcher. So I don't know who the catcher, nice. Who their catcher is. So the catcher could be the tipping point here to see who takes the lead. My catcher, you're a fan of this guy, Mike Zunino.
Oh yeah. I like me some Zunino for a dinger tonight.
Oh yeah. Dude, Zunino he's just home run or bust. So hopefully he hits that home run.
Which is basically the catcher position as a whole.
Exactly, right. You can get a home run out of your catcher. All things are good. All right, man. Well, we got 15 games to talk about. There's some really interesting pitchers. There's probably one really clear, perfect option. But then it gets pretty muddy after that. So let's break down some of these pitchers. And then there's like 1 million different stacks that we're interested in. I just kept adding things because I keep seeing stuff that pops up. So I'll start it off. I love this guy, and I'm going to definitely have some shares of him tomorrow night. Jimmy Nelson, Cincinnati is going up to Milwaukee for this series. He's just been so good lately. Okay, he's giving up nothing in the way of runs. He hasn't given up like more than one or two runs in his last couple games. Currently has a 27% strikeout rate. Yeah, two runs is basically exactly what he's been giving up. Now, Pittsburgh got to him earlier in July for four, but he has in the... I'm trying to find this. Since... Man, this is crazy. Since June, he has only missed three quality starts. Only three games that were quality starts since the beginning of June. So we're talking, almost 12 starts here. Jimmy Nelson has had a quality start in almost every single one of those games. He's been really, really good. He's limiting hard contact, 31%, and xFIP right at 3. He has a very, very low walk rate. He has just been in control. And lately, you know, the swinging strike stuff is really generating a lot of Ks. He went for double digit Ks against the Nationals two weeks ago. 12% swinging strike rate, like I said. I think he's in a really good spot against Cincinnati. I don't love the ballpark, but power righties have actually had quite a bit of success against Cincinnati. Guys like Scherzer, Severino, Jacob deGrom, you know, have like really torched them. They're not a bad team against mediocre, you know, pitching, but this guy has been proven that he is elite. He has control. You know, he doesn't struggle with walks or hard contacts or anything like that. I'll overlook the ballpark, perhaps, in this situation. I'll overlook Joey Votto, because Joey Votto is liable to take any righty out of the park these days. But I don't know. How do you feel about Jimmy Nelson?
No, I'm on board. I mean, the one part I love about this slate and all is that you don't have to pay like over 10K for any starting pitcher. So any of these pitchers at the top, you're not really twisting my arm. Like, Jimmy Nelson's in the 9. He's like, what, 9-8, I think, at the top. So, I mean, I have no problem paying that, because you can still pay up, you know, for whatever, most whatever batters you want. So I'm pretty comfortable with all the pitching options up there between like 9.8 and like 8.6. Like, there's some good guys there. And Nelson's, I think he's the top of the options, but obviously you're paying up for it. So, I mean, he's definitely a good play, though.
I mean, I think the thing is that is the sweet spot. You know, Joe Berg talked about it in his column on Lineup Logic DFS. Like, for his GPP lineups, he is always targeting that sweet spot of 8 to 9.5K, because he thinks that those are often pitchers that have a lot of upside but also perhaps carry some risk. And in this case, you know, Jimmy Nelson at the top tier there certainly carries a little bit of risk because of the ballpark and the Reds lefties, but I just love him here. I think he's up for a good game. You may have the best, most secure option here holstered. So why don't you talk us through Rich Hill here?
Yeah, you know, you got Rich Hill against the Padres, and just looking up at all the career stats that the Padres have against Rich Hill, it is not good, to say the least. They've compiled 8 hits in all against Rich Hill in the career. 3 of them alone are from Eric Ibar, 2 from Manny Margot, and a dinger from Renfro, which means the rest of the team has 2 hits combined against him. And in the 2 starts this year, he's got 12 innings, given up 6 hits, 4 walks, which is iffy, but he's got 16 Ks, 2 wins, and 1 quality start. He missed the second one by like 0.1 inning, I believe. Basically, there's not much more I need to know. And the Padres, I mean, they're the Padres. I don't care if they're on a hot streak or not. I'm up for playing Rich Hill here. Don't play Will Myers. He struck out 5 out of 9 plate appearances. So I'm definitely fading Myers in any sort of Padres stack here. And, you know, there's not much in the way of advanced stats that I need to know. You got a guy with 50-point plus potential here, and he's not eating away your bankroll. So I'm pretty much on board with him.
I think the best part is, you know, like, we were all people were loving the, and I was one of them for sure, no question about it. Loving the Padres in Great American Small Park, right? Because it's such a great ballpark upgrade. But they go back to San Diego now. And, you know, it is a gigantic ballpark. And enter Rich Hill, right? I mean, exactly as you said, 28% strike rate, right? Strikeout rate. He's been basically untouchable. You know, really, just really, really good stuff. Consistently, you know, getting into about 8Ks. I think the thing that worries me in this situation is whether or not he's going to go deep in the game. Right, like, we've seen Rich Hill get yanked in the 5th inning a lot, and for that price, I may go Jimmy Nelson, because that's the biggest concern that I have with Rich Hill. What do you think about that?
I understand what you're saying, but you know, even you pointing out the ballpark, I think that it's in a pitcher's park. I think he'll be just fine. And yeah, I mean, he's definitely the guy I'm going to be starting most frequently. So, yeah. But you know, I'll definitely obviously get some Jimmy Nelson and the couple of guys we're talking about as well.
Yeah, which we got a couple other names here because this kind of this tier after the top guys is interesting, and I think for me, I really like, and I may like him just as much as I like Jimmy Nelson. Charlie Morton versus the Rangers. Charlie Morton has been just filthy. He has a really great opportunity. You know, he's been striking out people all year long, but now he's at a 26% strikeout rate. His xFIP is at 3.7. Hard contact is below 30% to both righties and lefties. You know, I think the most interesting part is, even as a righty, he limits the left-handed bats. He's got a 283 wOBA allowed to left-handers, which, you know, okay, when the Rangers are, you know, up against a righty, that's who you worry about. Joey Gallo's, Rougned Odor, Nomar Mazara, those guys, they have some power lefties, but he limits that. So you take them away, and, you know, basically you just have to deal with Adrian Beltre, well, and Sinsu Chu. You take that away, all you have to deal with is really Sinsu Chu and Carlos Gomez. Or not Sinsu Chu, Adrian Beltre and Carlos Gomez, excuse me. You know, and those two are great ball players, and they hit right-handed pitching really well. But, you know, when you have such limited hard contact, I don't know how much damage they're going to be able to do, even though this is not a great ballpark to pitch in. So I think Morton, for me, may be one of my favorite GPP pitchers. He's got a filthy curveball. Grades out as one of the best breaking balls on the slate. You know, they're not going to hit it. They're bottom five in the league against curveball. In fact, anything that moves, sliders, changeups, curveballs, cutters, they're not going to hit any of it. They're just really good against the four-seamer, which he only throws 10% of the time. So I really like Charlie Morton in this situation. I think he's going to be a really good point per dollar value.
Is this in Texas?
It is in, yeah. It's not in, it's not in Houston. It's in Globe Life. So that's not ideal. You know,
that would be the one thing that scares me is that short porch. Like,
yeah.
Regardless, like a lot of balls that guys may have hit and been caught for outs in other stadiums very well may just fly out of the stadium there. Like,
well, and you're right, because it's going to be probably, what, 90 degrees, and you know it's August in Dallas. Let's look up the Dallas weather right now. Let's see. Well, I mean, Arlington's outside of Dallas. Okay, fine. It's 92. Yeah, it's 92 with 50% humidity. So the ball's going to be moving. You know, they already set this line. They set this line pretty low, actually. They set this line at only 9.5 runs. I think this will probably move in favor of the Astros against Hamels, because Hamels has struggled with some hard contact. But, yeah, I mean, that worries me, too. But, you know, Charlie Morton, I think the ability to limit the hard contact is really nice. And only, you know, I mean, here's the other thing, Scott. 51% ground ball rate. So that's really pretty sweet, right? I mean, that's huge, right? The ability to limit those fly balls will be really nice in that nice ballpark.
For sure. You know, just the Houston Astros versus Texas Rangers matchup, like you said, nine and a half runs total. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I love any pitcher in this game, because I feel like both offenses are just liable to go out for like a 10-7 ball game and starters get knocked around real well. But and it also goes back to I'd probably still pay up myself for Nelson or for Rich Hill, because I mean, what, there's not a lot of cost saving there between those guys, and you know, I'd rather just drop down my catcher to like a 2K Martin Maldonado. He's just like, he's my go-to on the 2K Hopi Dingers. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. It's just, I don't like anyone against Houston right now, really.
Well, he's pitching against the Rangers.
Oh, right. That's what I meant. I don't like anyone versus Texas in their home ballpark when it's 92 degrees out.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, yeah, pitchers in pitchers in August in Texas are really dangerous. But you've got a guy who actually has a really nice park to pitch in. And they're, you know, a team that is striking out at a massive rate. So talk to us about Carrasco here.
Yeah, Carlos Carrasco versus the Rays. It's another one of these going back to the career numbers. But this one has a little bit more meat to the bone, so to speak. The Rays, they're batting 196 career in 92 plate appearances versus Carrasco, and they've struck out 30 times. So basically, Carrasco owns the Rays, and there's got to be something. I don't know if it's his delivery or they just can't hit him. They have two dingers, one from Longo and one from Kiermaier, who, if I'm not mistaken, he's not playing right now. No. So you don't have to worry about that. His price at 8,900, I think it's just low because he's coming off two bad starts versus the Red Sox and the Yankees, which obviously those are two good teams. The Rays, not so much of a good team, at least of late. But that's a large enough sample size of 92 plate appearances to tell me that the Rays have trouble against them, and it's not like a fluke. Gary Sanchez is 5-for-5 with 5 home runs against someone. Like, that's not going to hold up. Like, I'm not going to think that he's going to go 1,000% like with all dingers.
For example, that's exactly. Gary Sanchez is 4 homers in 3 games against Estrada career.
Right. The regression is going to occur at some point there, you know?
This is true. This is true. It's happening tonight. Estrada is like ruining the Yankees.
And speaking of regression, Carrasco has played Tampa this year, and he did not pitch well. 3.2 innings pitched, 5 earned runs, but still had the 6 Ks. I don't know. I didn't go deep enough to find out if he like got hurt, if there was something going on there. But to me, that was the negative regression, where like the Rays got theirs. But now I look for it to go back to the normal of the 196 batting average and the 30 Ks for a solid number.
Yeah.
Probably put up like 40, I would think.
I think he's due. Like, he's just, the numbers are too good on the whole for us to think that Carrasco could continue this like pretty bad skid. 'Cause those two starts against New York and Boston were pretty disastrous. But I mean, you know, in the season, you're looking at a 27% strikeout rate and 12% swinging strike rate. We just saw what a guy with a double-digit swinging strike rate was doing in Danny Salazar. Now, Danny Salazar had to leave the game because fuck you, Terry Francona. But this is like double-digit K potential. You know, Salazar was dealing. And Carrasco certainly could do the exact same thing. The thing that I think I worry about with Carrasco, honestly, is the bad ball issues with lefties. Like, massive hard contact, really elevated wOBA with lefties. You know, I just saw a flash on my screen. Corey Dickerson just homered. So, like, of course, as a Rays fan, one little glimmer of hope, like, somebody hits a home run, and all of a sudden I'm like, we're back. It's over. We're going to make the playoffs again. You know, pretending like the Yankees are going to just fall to pieces and the Mariners aren't, like, a halfway respectable, decent team.
Hey, man, I'm down for the Yankees falling to pieces, you know, being from New Hampshire here. So, I mean, I'll join Team Rays if it means the Yankees don't make the playoffs.
Fair enough. I just, you know, the Yankees just swept us. So,
yeah,
I don't really know if we have a chance against that team. So, the lefties worry me. That's what I'll say. The lefties worry me. But you're right. I think he could go 6 innings, you know, 6, you know, 7 Ks, 8 Ks, and give you that 40-point floor that we were kind of used to in the middle of the season. Like, he was pretty solid.
And I feel like he was a lot higher priced than 89.
Oh, for sure. He was up in the 9 Ks flirting with 10 at some point because, you know, there was that stretch in, I think it was in June and July when he was, you know, he was pretty regularly, it was early July, right around the All-Star break, where he had two games with back-to-back double-digit strikeouts, you know, and he had 3 games in a month span where he had double-digit strikeouts. And in between those, he had 7 strikeout games. So, you know, there's a lot to like here about Carrasco's profile. I just think he's pretty volatile, so you do want to probably roster him in your GPPs.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so we got one more pitcher to talk about that I think, you know, this is one that I, by the way, I'm not touching E-Rod in Yankee Stadium, right? We're not doing that.
No, correct? Not at all.
Okay, thank you. I was just being sure. I think Marcus Stroman is interesting tomorrow night against the Pirates. I mean, what do you think about Marcus Stroman against the Pirates tomorrow night?
Stroman's a guy that always had like ace potential, but could never string it together for either a full season or would get hurt. So I know he has the stuff, and I feel like when I play him, he does not have the stuff, and when I don't play him, he has the stuff. It's just, it's kind of your Sonny Gray reference earlier, where just like, I'm not going to play him so that everyone else can benefit from it. But I mean, he does have a potential against this Pirates team who, I mean, they're okay. I mean, they can get hot. They can put up runs, but I'm also not scared of the lineup like I am with the Astros or, you know, the Yankees, Red Sox, any of those lineups. Because, like, you have McCutchen, but, like, in Starling, Juice, Marte. But other than that, I mean, Bell and Harrison are okay, but I feel like they're Cable. And
yeah,
I feel like he's an okay play. I didn't even catch his cost. How much is he?
He's in the 8Ks. Okay. I mean, I think, you know, for me, it's hard. He's one of those guys like you. I don't know if I can't get him right. Like, I've gotten him right a couple times this year where, you know, he's cruising. And I feel like the best case scenario is, like, he gets one strikeout per inning, right? He's such a ground ball guy that, you know, if he gets a strikeout per inning, like, those are his best games, you know, because he's going to limit things. But, like, you know, the Pirates don't strike out that much, although we did see them strike out a shit ton to Verlander, which was really nice. And, like, they profile kind of similarly to, you know, kind of similar to Verlander, and you're just going to pound the strike zone with a fastball. You know, and they're not that good against ground ball pitchers. So, and they're playing in a gigantic ballpark in PNC. I think they're in PNC, right? They're not in Toronto, are they? No, they're in Toronto. So, well, all right. So, I don't know. I never get him right. But I think that Stroman is probably worth a look just because of the fact that he's so effective at managing games.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a GPP option. I don't know how strong he would be in cash, but for tuck and dart throws, you know, Stroman, a little bit high cost dart throw, but does have that potential. And we don't really need to go into it, but just if you're really looking for a super dart throw, Ronaldo Lopez against the Royals. For some reason, I looked at that and thought that was interesting. No facts to back it up, but, I mean, he has had an 11K game this year, so.
He has it. Yeah, I mean, if he gets rolling, he can really, really locate and generate a lot of swinging strikes. But I think it's basically the batted ball profile. You're playing him for, you know, to manage the game and get you a quality start in six innings. So we'll see. I think he could sneak into a couple lineups just based on, you know, the lower
super price. Cheap. Yeah, I mean, if you want to pay up for all the stacks we're about to get into, you might have to pay down a pitcher, which I guess if there's a slate to do it, I would even think this is a good slate to try and throw a dart because you have all these guys who know what I like to call the 10K goats, like no Scherzers, you know, none of those guys. So, you know, you might be able to sneak 36 points off of Lopez instead of getting the 42 from Rich Hill, and you just saved like over three K. So it's an option.
Yeah, that's a really good call. Really good call. So, all right. So let's talk about some of these bats here for sure. Let's jump in here because I think that there are some really good options. Now, obviously, the high price guys, we've got, We've got a stud stack. The Astros, I think we have to go back to them. And I know this is like a broken record. They're like the first team I talk about on every single show. But they're getting Cole Hamels, okay? They're getting Cole Hamels, who is just not the same. He's not any good this year. He's 15% strikeout rate with a 40% hard contact rate to right-handed bats. The Astros are going to play in that 92-degree weather in Arlington. Massive, massive park bump here. You know, they have been struggling in the last couple games in this White Sox series, but you got to love the fact that they're going to get a massive hard contact rate, a guy who can't strike out anybody in a great ballpark to play in. It just seems like it's going to be a disaster to Hamels. Like, he's not going to, you know, he doesn't give up a ton of home runs and a ton of fly balls, but he's getting a lot of base runners. You know, the WOBA is pretty low, but I think there's enough to like about his inability to generate strikeouts and the hard contact that the Astros righties in this situation profile really, really well. So obviously you start with Springer and Altuve. I'm moving to to Yuli and Marwin in this situation. Alex Bregman hits lefties very well as well. I just think he's overpriced. I mean, are you willing to pay probably 4K, 3.8K for Alex Bregman?
I think I am. Obviously, earlier in the year was super streaky. Like, didn't he start out hot and then just disappear for a really long time? And now it's like on fire right now. The one thing and the only reason I would say yes if he's at like 38 is because like one of my stacks, spoiler alert, I'm gonna look at the Nationals and you got a guy like Wilmer Defoe at like 3,200 and I was like, well, you could pay 3,200 for Wilmer or 38 for Bregman. I'd probably pay up for Bregman, you know what I mean? So right. It's not, unless he goes over 4K, I guess that'll be my line in the sand, like 4K.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think that's fair enough. Yeah, and I think that you're probably unique. If you're willing to pay 4K for Bregman, then I think people probably are going to be pushed away from his ownership. So I like that call. Astros definitely in play, but I think we also got to, I mean, the other righties that you got to look at are the Dodgers versus Clayton Richard. Richard, I mean, the guy is excellent against lefties, but he's pretty rough against right-handers. He has some pretty serious splits issues. 386 WOBA to right-handers. I mean, 322 WOBA to lefties, but not a single home run. So I'm not really messing with that, but he's given up 18 home runs on the year to right-handers with a 386 WOBA. 36% hard contact rate. It's all there. I think we got to look at, you know, guys like Chris Taylor, Kike Hernandez, you know, Justin Turner, those types of guys. Do we keep going back to the well with the Dodgers in this one?
Yeah, I mean, with the Dodgers, both the Dodgers and with the Astros, I kind of feel like if you always throw out a line with them every night, over time, yeah, you're going to come out ahead. Right. You know, which is why, like, yeah, Houston's had two bad games, but, I mean, keep pounding Houston. They'll be putting up, like, Springer 40 burgers, Altuve 30 burgers. Like, I'm confident in them and in the Dodgers. I mean, Bellinger's just been on fire. So, like, I don't care what the deal with Clayton Richard is, but Bellinger's just going to, I think, tear one out of the ballpark. I love the Dodgers stack here. I'm on board.
So here's the thing, right? Bellinger right now, I got Bellinger at 3% against a lefty. People don't play lefty matchups. Bellinger smashes lefties. Corey Seager and Bellinger smash lefties. So maybe they'll christen Clayton Richard and let him send one out. But I think it's because he's a ground ball guy to lefties. But the righties have smashed him. So I'm perfectly fine with some Chris Taylor in my life, some Justin Turner in my life. I love those guys. So,
but you could get those lefties at that lower ownership percentage.
Yeah, exactly, right? Exactly. So I love that call. You got a nice call right here, right? I love the Nats in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, I really love the Nats in this situation against the Giants versus Chris Stratton. He's tied for the lowest cost for a starting pitcher on a slate, and that's something I do a lot. I'll look down at the slate and look at the starting pitchers at the bottom and look for certain stacks I can do based on those starting pitchers. Now, sometimes you might find some value down there, but it's unlikely. The reason Chris Stratton is 5K, in his five appearances, he scored 18 points, minus 14, 8, 18, and 21. I guess the most shocking thing about that is that the minus 14 was versus the Padres, and he lasted 0.1 innings, gave up 5 earned runs. He's maxed out at 4 strikeouts in a game and 6.2 innings in a game, so you don't have high K potential there. You don't have really going deep potential. He's 0-2 on the year, and the Nationals are just firing on all cylinders right now. So if I'm looking at like a national stack, I'm willing to pay up 5K for Bryce Harper in this matchup. I'll do it, especially with the savings at pitcher. I think that's mainly why you see Bryce Harper at 5K. I'll roll with Zimmerman and Rendon. If you want to go for a 4 stack, possibly toss in a Brian Goodwin, Matt Wieters, or again, Wilmer Defoe, but he's starting to get a little too pricey for what you actually get out of him. So I'm not sure if I'm going to play him, but he's an option.
Is Wilmer Defoe related to Willem Defoe of Boondock Saints, the actor?
I'm not sure. I was totally not joking. Confirmed.
Not confirmed. Oh my God. Have you seen some of the data? I mean, okay, so Stratton has a ridiculously small sample size, but he has a 9.1 xFIP to lefties right now. Obviously it's partially because of that, the terrible performances, but good gracious, we have got to attack Bryce Harper and Brian Goodwin with everything that we have. I love that call. Yeah, man.
I mean, if he went minus 14 versus the Padres, I think he's good for at least a minus 30 against the Nats.
This could be one of those slates where the Nationals break the slate. Like, you know how every once in a while they'll be like, "Well, fuck, the Nationals hit 8 home runs." If you didn't
like play yesterday with Ryan Zimmerman, 66, exactly. Just breaking the slate.
That day when they hit 5 home runs back to back to back against the Brewers, remember that?
Yeah.
God, Daniel Murphy, dude, give me all the lefties.
Murphy's been sketched though of late. I mean, and he's still of high cost. I think he's like 38.
Yeah,
but
he's still got it though. I mean, right?
Yeah.
I wonder how healthy he is. Like, I think he's injured.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely someone who might be lower owned. So if you're looking for a little contrarian stack, I mean, the ultimate contrarian the Nats stack would be, you know, no Harper, no Zimmerman, and then go like Rendon, Goodwin, and Murphy. And that would be like if for some reason Harper went over and Zimmerman went over, but the other guys went off, you'd be like sitting really pretty. But I think that Zimmerman and Harper are going to go off. So,
yeah. No, I like that call. I like that call. And it's the same reason, right? It's the same reason that you play Cody Bellinger against the lefty, because everybody's going to attack the lefties in this situation, and you forget how good Ryan Zimmerman is against righties. So I like that call. Definitely willing to attack the Nationals in this situation. I think there's a lot of pricing, by the way. There's a lot of bats in the middle here. So I'm going to just kind of go through a couple of my quick favorites, because I really like the one that you have as well in this situation. So how about the A's versus Ubaldo? That's a great situation.
All day. Like, Ubaldo, so bad.
You know, like, in Ubaldo, like, He has definitely trolled us a couple times here, right? Back to back starts where he has given up limited runs in Tampa Bay, Kansas City, Detroit.
Okay. Well, Tampa Bay, Kansas City, Detroit. I mean,
All right, well,
not a barn burner of a stretch there.
God, he just fucking destroyed. Oh, I forgot about this. He destroyed Tampa Bay. That was so depressing. So depressing. You know, I mean, the crazy thing is he's like, him and Bartolo are like doing this, you know, crazy old man pitcher thing. Ubaldo's older than I am, which is awesome. But I think we have to go to you have to play the odds that he is going to give up, you know, six runs in three innings like he's done a number of times this year. Even though he has the ability to, you know, the ability to shut an offense down every once in a while, you're still looking at a guy who gives up a 400 wOBA to lefties, you know, over 34% hard contact to lefties, 38 to righties, you know, fly balls, not a ton of fly balls. He's pretty neutral ground ball fly ball guy. But the home runs come from the lefties. So if I'm going to the A's here, I'm going, you know, I'm really disappointed that Yonder Alonso isn't playing in this game, mm-hmm. but I'm over it. I'm going straight at Matt Joyce, and I'm going to Matt Olson. He's going to be min price tomorrow. Okay. He's going to be min price. I think he's third base eligible. And he is the young guy. They called him up in the middle of the season, and he is, he's an animal. Like, he came up and he just like swatted like three or four home runs. He's really, 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 really good lefty. So I'm going to take some min price Matt Olson at this situation, and Matt Joyce, and then maybe, you know, maybe get me some Jed Lowry, Chris Davis in there too. You know, get that four man against Ubaldo.
Yeah, I'm always down for Jed.
Well, and we also know Chris Davis hits righties better than he hits lefties. So let's go. All right, another one. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Brewers versus Homer Bailey, dude. Do you remember that night when the Brewers hit like five home runs off of Homer Bailey?
I don't personally remember it, but I mean, I looked at Homer Bailey as like a potential sleeper, because I know he was going to be so good potentially, but injuries and he hasn't been good have kind of doomed him. But I mean, I think that, I mean, Milwaukee's been swinging the bat pretty well. You know, when Hernan Perez is on point, like, I'm throwing him in a lineup because he seems to be a guy that catches fire. And
yeah,
Ryan Braun up for as well in this matchup. And also, I love the Braun, the Keon Buxton, and the Hernan Perez stack. I'm all for that.
Yeah, I think that's the thing about the Brewers. We forget that pretty much everybody can go yard on that team. So I'm really into Domingo Santana. He's been leading off lately, which is crazy. Travis Shaw is just bound to start hitting some more home runs. And Eric Thames, too cheap.
Yeah,
but the righties are, you know, he is. You know, the home runs are coming against lefties and righties, but he's given up a lot of runs to righties. 479 wOBA to righties, which is just unbelievable. It's weird. This is the really, really weird part. You look at his batted ball profile, it's all medium contact. He only gives up 26-28% hard contact. How bizarre is that?
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, usually, you know, the bad pitchers are going to be giving up the hardest hit balls, but I mean, maybe bad puck luck, so to speak, this year.
Oh, man, I don't know. He's terrible though. He's brutal. Yeah, Milwaukee hit three dingers off of him. So, you know, the righties definitely in play here. Broxton, Santana, Shemaine Thames, and Shaw too. You know, no problem with them. Orlando Arcia is one of my favorite punt shortstops. If you're looking to save on shortstop, he has a liability. He has the ability to go yard, and he's good. So
yeah, and Hernan too. I'm a big Hernan Perez fan. He's been pretty hot of late.
Oh, for sure. Oh my gosh, yeah, Hernan Perez, and he's cheap right now. He's like 2,800.
Yeah, I'm all on board with that.
All right, right on. All right, so Brewers, boom, check that box. A's, those are two really pretty affordable stacks, by the way, guys. And then here's another relatively affordable one, and I know you're into this. Seattle, dude. Mm-hmm. Overlooked, under-owned. I'm seeing two different starters here, though, okay? So I'm seeing Ricky Nolasco. I'm seeing Ricky Nolasco on RotoGrinders and Fangraphs, but I'm seeing on MLB.com, I'm seeing JC Ramirez. So I am really hopeful that it's JC Ramirez, and I'll tell you why. 373 WOBA, two lefties, 15 home runs given up on the year, two left-handers. He only has a 4.9 xFIP, two lefties, and 42% hard contact. Now, there are a few lefties that I can think of in the Seattle team that I want to play. Robbie Cano, Ben Gamel, Yonder Alonso, Gerard Dyson, man. Gerard Dyson has been excellent of late. So I'm into the Seattle lefties. How about you?
Oh, yeah. I love Seattle. The hardest thing for me is picking the actual right Mariners. Yeah. Sometimes I swear I just picked the wrong one. Anytime Gamel goes off, I don't have him. I'll have, like, Cruz and Cano. And, like, earlier in the season, it'd be, like, Gamel and Motter having a party and just be, like, aggravated by it. But
Kyle Seager, of course. And Kyle Seager's been smacking the baseball. So I'm totally into this. MLB.com has JC Ramirez. So I'm going to trust MLB.com because the teams report into MLB.com. I think the other sites have it wrong. So we're going to go with JC. And I think the Mariners' total is going to move. They're at 4.8 runs now. I think it's probably going to jump up to 5 at least. All right, dude, you have a nice one here too. I love this. This is the team that's breaking the slate tonight.
Yeah, I've got the New York Mets versus Nick Pivetta. I really do feel that the trade of Jay Bruce will put some pressure on the other outfielders and on all the players on the Mets. It's kind of a clear message from management, put up or shut up. They're looking at guys to potentially keep who they're going to trade in the offseason. I mean, they're pretty much out of contention now. So I feel like you might not get the garbage time, so to speak, with the Mets offense because they're talented enough to where they could compete for a title in the next couple of years if they make the right moves and keep the right guys and get rid of the wrong ones, or get rid of the right ones, rather. But that being said, Pivetta did have a good matchup against the Mets on 7-2 of this year. 7 innings, 4 Ks, an earned run, a win, and a quality start. But he did have 4 walks in that game. I do believe that, like, the second time a guy sees a pitcher or an offense sees a pitcher, they're more likely to go off against him. Like, not specifically this guy, but I feel like in the past it's been like, oh, Ty Black has gotten a 40-point game against the Padres. I'm going to play him against the Padres, and then he gets a -5, and it's frustrating. But I feel like the second time you get a guy, you've seen him, you got a better idea of what you're going to get there. So the stacks that I'm going with here, number one, you know, Fern's boy Wilmer. He's been on fire. He's got a home run in the past 2 games. I'm looking for everything good comes in threes out of him. Conforto, I'm on board with. And my third in the stack, my gut tells me the Grandy man can, and he's going to dinger. I don't know why. I don't have any stats to back it up, but when my gut says something, I listen. So I'm putting in Granderson with kind of as the guys you could rotate in of Yoenis and Asdrubal Cabrera.
Yeah, yeah, I'm into that. Don't sleep on Neil Walker. Please don't sleep on Neil Walker.
I mean, I looked at him today, and he's been so bad. He's been terrible. And then, of course, he dingers.
Neil Walker's the GOAT. I love Neil Walker. He's always so underpriced. Like, but I'm into it. You know,
I like him too. It's just he's been so bad.
I know. Cabrera sat today, which is weird to me. The Mets are selling, obviously. Cabrera was a piece that they talked about as a possible trade chip. But I think if he's up in the lineup, you got to look at him. Walker, 342 wOBA. See, like, against righties, he's not bad. 342 wOBA, 206 ISO. But yeah, he has been on a cold streak, that's for sure.
He's 2,800 today, when I feel like he was 4K at points earlier in the year.
I don't, because he was in and out of the lineup. He got hurt for a while. Ahmed Rosario, dude. Are we going to play the Mets prospect, Ahmed Rosario, the shortstop?
I'm up for it, man, because, yeah. I mean, shortstop and catcher, typically in my lineup building, tend to be the lower cost, like higher risk, higher reward kind of guys. Unless I'm going up to the top, I don't really play much in the middle with the shortstops or catchers.
He didn't play tonight, but it's time. It's time to get you some Ahmed Rosario in your lineup. 2,300 tomorrow night.
I'm down.
Yeah, let's load up on the Mets. I love that ballpark, dude. Citizens Bank is, by the way, number two in MLB for home runs. So you got to attack it every time it's on the park with home run hitters. And Pivetta certainly struggling with the righties. Insane. God, poor guy. Insane hard contact, 44% hard contact to the righties, and 15 home runs on the year. So just smashing him, just destroying him, Pivetta. So I love that call. All right, we got a couple really interesting games. A couple high-profile, like real high-profile, real baseball games. And I want to talk about whether or not you think they're viable offenses here. This Cubs-Diamondbacks game is very interesting. Like, I was very interested in starting Cubbies. At first glance, I was very interested in starting the Cubbies against Taijuan Walker. And then I realized Taijuan Walker has been, like, really good at limiting hard contact. Where are you at with the Cubs? Or do you like the Diamondbacks against John Lackey?
If I were going to pick a side here, I'd probably go D-backs, mainly because I have no luck going back to, you know, luck picking guys. I've had no luck picking the right Cubs this year. I mean, they're a great offense. You got Rizzo and you got Bryant. I just don't know if I feel like paying up versus Arizona at home with Taijuan Walker. Like, he's a guy who is a high prospect for the Mariners and was a highly coveted prospect that the D-backs did end up getting. And I feel like he had a couple injuries early on, which has slowed his development a little bit. Yeah. But he's a guy that I feel like as the season progresses and goes along, gets better. And I mean, he's someone who I even look at for like next year as like a potentially good like sleeper pick. But for this year, I mean, I would rather have Goldschmidt against Lackey than Rizzo against Walker.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. Like, Lackey has had some blow-up games, you know, and you can definitely do some, you know, Goldie Lamb Peralta in the desert, you know. I think that's viable. And the Red Sox-Yankees is interesting. Normally this series is kind of, you know, like gritty. And both of these offenses, not like putting up a ton of runs of late, really, like not that powerful. But you have two pretty mediocre lefties on the hill in Eduardo Rodriguez and Jaime Garcia. Rodriguez has been getting hit really hard lately. You have a great ballpark. Jaime Garcia got blown up by the Indians and has not been good. I mean, he has some talent, but, like, he's just not that good. Last time I touted Jaime Garcia, by the way, 42 fantasy points against Oakland. Gosh, that was great. Just to pat myself on the back and enjoy that call.
Yeah, I mean, as a Red Sox fan, and I listen to a lot of sports talk radio, all I hear about is the fact that the Red Sox, like, don't hit enough home runs, and they don't have, like, a whole lot of power. They have some, but, like, going into the season, I would have expected, you know, Mookie and Bogey to have way more dingers than they have right now. So I feel like their power is low. But in this type of game versus the Yankees in New York, I could very well see this being like a 19-inning, 12-11 ball game. You know, like okay. just like a high scoring game. So I wouldn't touch the pitching on either side personally, but typically the Red Sox, I'll stack, you know, a few guys and all the other ones will score the run. So I try to not bet on my team so that I can watch the game and just enjoy it. But the Red Sox, I'd probably, you know, I like to go with the low to mid guys, the JBJs, the Sandy Leones or Christian Vasquez's, because I don't feel like paying up for Mookie Betts to get like two singles and a walk, which right. is like I'm fine with that. I want to pay up for dingers, not for like great plate appearances, you know. So
yeah, that's right. Plate discipline does not pay the bills in DFS. So
exactly.
I like that. That's a good call. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Yankees have been ice cold. They just got blanked by Marco Estrada. Like, that makes no sense. What the fuck? You know, it's very, very tilting.
Yeah, I mean, I say you just throw out all logic. Sox Yanks. Like, there's going to be no real way to like justify before the game that one thing's going to happen versus another, because the Red Sox could win 20-1, the Yankees could win 20-1, it could be 20-19, it could be 1-0. Like, those two teams, like, regardless as to what's happened going into the series, usually it's all bets are off and you get like a different gameplay almost, you know.
Yeah, no, I feel that. That's a good point. So All right. Diamondbacks over Cubs. Maybe we just fade the Red Sox Yankees completely. We now, Scott, have the honorable task of heading over to FanDuel. Try to throw together a lineup here, my friend. So the biggest question, I guess, with Friday's slate is going to be, like, who are we pitching?
I mean, I've built like a lineup for tomorrow just in doing my research, but when I built the lineup, I started with Rich Hill.
Fair enough. All right.
And then, you know, kind of going to what I previously said, my Nats and Met stack, since Rich Hill is only 93, you can fit in Wieters, Wilmer Defoe, Bryce Harper, Conforto, and Grandy with the little I love playing Spankenberg from San Diego, even though he's up against Rich Hill. He's someone that could be played in like another lineup. I'd probably change it for this particular lineup. But he's a low-cost guy, and I don't know who's starting as of yet. But I mainly like Spankenberg because I tried playing him earlier in the season, and Spector was just like, dude, do not play Spangenberg. So, like, now I love playing him just to spite Spector. But, yeah, you can play around with some value at second and third if you go with the Rich Hill, Nats, Mets, Steck there. But in terms of building a new one, like, I would start with Rich Hill.
All right, fair enough. Start with Rich Hill. That makes a lot of sense to me. I don't see any reason to disagree with you there. I'm gonna start with Jimmy Nelson, okay? Just cause why not? And then I'm gonna go three righty Dodgers that I like here: Logan Forsythe, Justin Turner, Kike Hernandez. I like all three of those guys in this situation. And then
what's your stance on quad stacking? Just cause I feel like I've been looking at a lot of winning lineups towards the top, and I've been seeing four guys from the same team, but anytime I'm building a lineup with a quad stack, I feel very uneasy about it.
Oh, I love a 4x4s. Yeah. I love 4x4s because, I mean, like, in a situation like the Mets tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Cardinals, like, the Mets and the Cardinals are going off. Like, you want exposure to every single positive piece of that team that goes for 10 runs, right? I have a Cardinals stack and I have a Mets stack, both in separate lineups. They're cashing, And I think that it is a great, it's a great way to approach everything. So I mean,
yeah. So would I feel like going a quad Dodger might be viable?
Oh, for sure, for sure. It's absolutely viable. But I went three by. Well, actually, okay. So here's what I'll do. Spart. Well, where is he? Oh no. Well, that's not gonna work. That's not what I wanted to do.
All right, it's cool. I just wanted to bring it up because I was talking to Spectre about that, you know. Because for me, it's like a lot of times, even in picking three, you get two guys that go off and one guy that gets 3 points. So if you bring in like a fourth right. variable, it makes it even riskier. But again, the more risk, the more reward. So it makes sense.
No, definitely. Definitely. I think I got something here, though. Hold on 1 second. I like this a lot. Okay, so here's 2 4-bys. It's Dodgers and Brewers. Okay, so Jimmy Nelson at the top. Oh shit. I'm not gonna be able to pitch Jimmy Nelson because of that FanDuel rule that doesn't let you have 5 players. So I can't pitch Rich Hill either because it's Dodgers. All right, I gotta figure something out here. Hold on,
I gotta go out Charlie, or you could go Carlos. But those top two, I mean, those are good pitchers to have.
I know, I like those guys. Hold on, I got this. Don't worry, dude. Don't worry. All right, I need a. Wait, there he is, Perez. Hernan Perez. Okay, now I need a catcher. I need a $2,700 catcher. And I'm going with... I don't know. I'm looking at Tyler Flower. Sorry, this is really bad podcasting. I'm not even saying what's going on.
It's cool. I'm catching up to you. I mean, so you've used the Dodgers, so Grandal's out.
I'm using Grandal. Yeah, Grandal's out. I can't... I've got, so the 4-man Dodgers stack is Logan Forsyth, Justin Turner, Corey Seager, and Chris Taylor, which is 3 righties plus Corey Seager who smashes lefties, right?
Yeah.
What about
Iannetta against Lackey at home?
Yeah, Iannetta against Lackey in the desert. You just target the best ballpark on the slate. McCann, he's a lefty. I don't want to do that against Hamels. That would have been interesting. But yeah, probably Iannetta works. Or Tyler Flowers. Who's he got? He's been hitting up in the lineup. That might be interesting against Wainwright. He's been hitting up in the lineup, which is interesting too. So either one of those guys, Tyler Flowers or whatever, that's fine. So it's Jimmy at the top, Jimmy Nelson, backed up by a 3-man Milwaukee stack. Eric Thames, Domingo Santana, Hernan Perez. Okay, so a couple, you know, kind of lower-owned Milwaukee plays in Domingo and Hernan Perez. And then Eric Thames, too cheap. Regression is coming. Come on. It's time, Eric Thames. And then 4-man Dodgers stack, Logan Forsyth, Justin Turner, Corey Seager, Chris Taylor, Jimmy Nelson at the top. I like that one.
Yeah, that's definitely a nice lineup. I've just been, you know, playing around myself here just to kind of throw in something where – we get a chance to kind of talk about a lineup with the pitchers we talked about. So not going by the 4x4 stack, but starting with Carrasco, I feel like, again, as we talked, that Houston-Texas game could be a big game in terms of run production. At least I think so. So I was able to squeeze into one lineup with Carrasco, Gallo, Altuve, Beltre, Elvis Andrews and George Springer, and then just soak in the value from there on out. Like on this lineup, I put in Matt Olson, who you mentioned about from Oakland, which you could also pair with if he plays again. You got Dustin Garneau or even Bruce Maxwell, the Oakland catcher. They're all able to be put in with this lineup, either Oakland catcher. So you get a 2 Astros, 3 Rangers, two A's and a Brandon Guyer because he's 2100 if he plays against Tampa. So just like another, I like to play around a lot with like getting some big names all squeezed in and then trying to find that value to try to pop a GPP.
Yeah, no, I mean, because it's a lot of times it's the low price guys alongside the consistent performers that sometimes will really, really break the slate wide open. Have you figured out how to get Bryce? How to get Bryce in a lineup?
Bryce Harper, yeah, it was that the one that I just mentioned. But again, it's so basically the way I would say it is go with Rich Hill, Matt Wieters, Wilmer Flores, Wilmer Defoe, Bryce Harper, Conforto, Granderson, and then you have 47, so like 24 and 23 to kind of try and find that value at second or third base. You know, I just threw two random people in there because I don't like to guess who's going to be the random guy filling in at 2K, like the Brandon Drury's or something. But I mean, you can really put anyone in that second and third base slot at a low cost, and you get that Nat stack, you get the Met stack, and you get Rich Hill. And I mean, from there, what else do you need?
That's a good call. That's a good call. I've got one working here that I like. Oh wow, it's way too much savings. So I got Stroman at the top, and I've got the three man Washington stack of just the lefties: Murphy, Goodwin, Harper, right? And then I went with Matt Olson and Marcus Semien as two plays of the Oakland game there. And then I'm going to go over to Seattle, and I'm going to grab Yonder Alonso and Kyle Seager, two lefties there. And I still have 3K left for catcher, which is insane. I don't really even know what to do with 3K catcher on this slate. I guess Matt Wieters, right?
Yeah, he's viable. He's probably the most I'll ever pay for a catcher. Or like no, 3K.
Sal Perez, baby. Sal Perez, you got to play Sal Perez.
I don't know, man. I feel like I'm always rocking the 2K to 2400 bucks on my catching position. I mean, it might be my downfall, but I feel like any of these catchers, they can dinger and you can get a home run. So, I mean, it's really shooting fish in a barrel outside of Yadier, who I just realized has been going off of late.
Did he go off again tonight?
I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, good stuff, dude. We got some interesting lineups out here. Regardless of whether or not Yadier Molina has hit homers in like three of his last consecutive games, because fuck the Cardinals. Although I had them and they're really helping me, but I think that lineup's going to fall out of cash because tonight is pretty chalky and everybody had Cardinals. Well, good stuff, man. Scott, thanks for jumping on for Fern here.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm sure Fern will email you some notes, some tips and some pointers, just things that he would have done differently, not like critical, but just maybe some ideas to help you workshop.
Right. Josh, give more WOBA, more XFIP, more Q-tip, all that good stuff.
More. Also, Fern says, here's the thing a lot.
Right? Oh yeah, that's right.
He's really good at setting the table. Here's the thing, Sean. Here's the thing. Maybe just some good talking points there. All right, but good stuff, man. I really appreciate you jumping on. That was a lot of fun. Guys, if you're not already following Scott on Twitter, DFS Kingsguard. Yes, like the Kingsguard in Game of Thrones. Yes, exactly like that.
That's where the inspiration came from. Plus, DraftKings.
That's what we call him, KG, King's Guard. Not because of Kevin Garnett.
Well, that too.
All right, dude. Hey, good stuff. Thanks for jumping on here. And guys, good luck in your contest. We'll see you.